Welcome to Washington Today on C-SPAN Radio for Friday, September 4th, 2020. Here are some of your headlines. President Trump again vehemently denying allegations he made offensive comments towards fallen and captured U.S. service members, including calling Americans killed in World War I and buried at a cemetery in France losers and suckers. Allegations are in an Atlantic magazine article published Thursday, President calling it fake news. Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden says if the allegations are true, Donald Trump is unfit for the presidency. The U.S. adding 1.4 million jobs in August, dropping the unemployment rate from 10.2% to 8.4%, according to the Labor Department. About half of the 22 million jobs lost in trying to contain the coronavirus pandemic have now been recovered. A new coronavirus model from the University of Washington predicting more than 400,000 people in the U.S. could die from COVID-19 by January 1, 2021, more than double the current death toll. The model says the additional deaths could be cut by more than half if mask use is near universal, or it could be much higher if all social distancing restrictions are eased. And the leaders of Serbia and Kosovo coming to the White House agreeing to normalize economic relations after a meeting with President Trump and 2 days of talks in Washington. We begin with the article in The Atlantic, which cites four unnamed sources with firsthand knowledge of President Trump's comments, saying the president disparaged the military service of the late former President George H.W. Bush, objected to wounded veterans being involved in military parades, canceled a visit to a World War I American cemetery in France in 2018 because he didn't want to get his hair messed up by the rain, and saying, "Why should I go to that cemetery? It's filled with losers." And in another conversation on that trip, referring to the Marines who lost their lives at Belleau Wood as suckers for getting killed. Here's President Trump in the White House Oval Office.
Sir, do you need to apologize to service members and veterans?
No, it was a fake story written by a magazine that was probably not going to be around much longer. But it was a totally fake story, and that was confirmed by many people who were actually there. It was a terrible thing that somebody could say the kind of things, and especially to me, because I've done more for the military than almost anybody else. You look at how the VA is doing. It's doing incredibly well. We got all sorts of things done, from accountability to veterans' choice to everything. And it's got right now, the highest approval rating that it's ever had, 91% approval rating. It's never been anywhere close to that. Nobody's done what I've done, and that includes salary increases, but it really includes the rebuilding of our military, because as you know, when I came here, our military was totally depleted, and we spent almost $2.5 trillion, much more than you spent on your military, I can tell you that, right? Slightly more. $2.5 trillion, all made in the USA, F-35s, brand new jets and rockets and missiles, and hope to God that we never have to use it, but our nuclear is now in extraordinary shape, including new weapons. I just hope we never have to use that, because that's a level of power that you don't even want to talk about. You don't even want to hear about it. So it's a fake story, and it's a disgrace that they're allowed to do it. And very interestingly, I hate to bring up his book, but John Bolton, no friend of mine, I thought he was, you know, didn't know too much about what he was doing. He didn't do a good job. But he wrote a book, and he talks about this incident, and he doesn't mention it. And frankly, a lot of reporters, even some pretty bad ones, they read that, and that was the end of the story. Now, there's nobody that considers the military, and especially people that have given their lives in the military. To me, they're heroes. It's even hard to believe how they could do it. And I say that. It's so, the level of bravery. And to me, they are absolute heroes.
President Donald Trump in the Oval Office, and former White House National Security Advisor John Bolton telling the New York Times today he never heard the president call the dead American soldiers buried in the French cemetery losers or suckers. Bolton going on, quote, "I'm not saying he didn't say them later in the day or another time, but I was there for that discussion." Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden led off his news conference in Wilmington, Delaware, on this issue.
"I, quite frankly, if what is written in The Atlantic is true, it's disgusting. And it affirms what most of us believe to be true, that Donald Trump is not fit to be the job of president, to be the commander in chief. The president reportedly said, and I emphasize reportedly said, that those who sign up to serve instead of doing something more lucrative are suckers. Let me be real clear. When my son was an assistant U.S. attorney and he volunteered to go to Kosovo while the war was going on as a civilian, he wasn't a sucker. When my son volunteered and joined the United States military as the attorney general and went to Iraq for a year, won the Bronze Star and other commendations, he wasn't a sucker. The service men and women he served with, particularly those who did not come home, were not losers. If these statements are true, the president should humbly apologize to every Gold Star mother and father and every Blue Star family that he's denigrated and insulted. Who the heck does he think he is? Is it true? Well, we've heard from his own mouth his characterizations of an American hero, John McCain, as a loser in 2015. Donald Trump said he was not a war hero. I like people who weren't captured. Well, good for him. And his dismissal of the traumatic brain injury suffered by troops serving in Iraq as mere headaches not too long ago. He stood by, failing to take action or even raise the issue with Vladimir Putin while the Kremlin puts bounties on the heads of American troops in Afghanistan. It's a sacred duty. And you're tired hearing me say this. Those you've been covering me for years know I get in trouble for saying, but I'm going to say it again. We have many obligations to the government. We only have one truly sacred obligation. Equip and support those who we send into harm's way. Care for their families while they're gone and care for them when they are home. That's the only truly sacred obligation the government has. Duty, honor, country. These are values that drive our service members. It's an all-voluntary outfit. President Trump has demonstrated he has no sense of service, no loyalty to any cause other than himself.
Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden. Jeffrey Goldberg wrote the Atlantic piece, telling CNN today, "I stand by my reporting. I have multiple sources telling me this is what happened, and so I stand by it." Vice President Mike Pence asked about it during an interview Friday morning on CNBC.
"I wasn't in Paris, but it never happened. I talked to the president that day. I know how disappointed President Trump was that there was a bad weather call that did not permit him to fly to Bella Woods to honor our fallen there. And more importantly, Kayla, I've been to Arlington Cemetery with this president. I've been at his side at Dover Air Force Base with grieving families as we brought our fallen home. I've never been with anyone who cares more deeply about the men and women of our armed forces or respects them and their families than President Donald Trump. And our record really speaks for itself. You know, under the last administration, Joe Biden was vice president. We saw our military hollowed out by budget cuts. We saw people literally dying on waiting lists to get into the VA, the VA beset by one scandal after another. From day one, this president has demonstrated his love and respect for our armed forces. We rebuild our military, record investments in our armed forces, and we reform the VA and end those decades of scandal. So I reject this out of hand, as everyone has spoken out on it. And I think the American people see through this for what it is, just one more anonymous smear job with an election just a couple of months away."
Vice President Mike Pence on CNBC. Defense Secretary Mike Esper putting out a statement saying President Trump has the highest respect and admiration for our nation's military members, veterans, and families. That is why he has fought for greater pay and more funding for our armed forces. and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo reacting on Fox News.
I haven't read the whole piece, but if I'm tracking correctly, I think I was on that trip as well. But what I can say for sure is I've never heard. I've been with this president now for coming on 4 years. I've never heard the president use the language that assertedly is said in that article about him calling the military suckers and losers. I've never seen that in Gene. Just the contrary. He has always had the deepest respect. I'm a veteran, too. I care deeply about these young men and women. I've watched the president honor them in every situation that I've been in with him as well.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. Democratic members of Congress also commenting on the allegations in the Atlantic article. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi putting out a statement that reads in part, "The president's repeated disparagement of our men and women in uniform, calling them losers and suckers, is profoundly appalling. Every day, Trump makes clear that he does not comprehend what it means to sacrifice for one's country, as he consistently puts his own interests ahead of our national security and those who defend it." And Senator Tammy Duckworth of Illinois, a U.S. Army veteran who lost both legs while serving in Iraq as a helicopter pilot, was on a conference call today organized by the Biden for President campaign.
Since he entered the presidential race, Donald Trump has been disrespectful. Let's make that downright contemptuous of the sacrifices of others. He has insulted war heroes, he's attacked Gold Star families, and he's even tried to politicize and pervert our military to stroke his own ego. He's shown more respect for tyrants like Putin, who manipulate him like a puppet, and reportedly has put bounties on our troops' heads than for the brave men and women who wear our nation's uniform. So no, I am not shocked to hear yet more instances of Donald Trump belittling the sacrifices of those who've shown more bravery than he's capable of. I'm not shocked, but I am appalled. Then again, this is a man who spends every day redefining the concept of narcissism, a man who has led a life of privilege with everything handed to him on a silver platter. Of course he thinks about war selfishly. He thinks of it as a transactional cost instead of in human lives and American blood spilled, because that's how he's viewed his whole life. He doesn't understand other people's bravery and courage because he's never had any of his own. His actions diminish the office he holds and the party that he leads, but they do not diminish the honor of those who give up their lives to defend our great nation, the bravery of those who volunteer for dangerous missions knowing that they might not come back. It does not diminish the sacrifices of wounded soldiers who gave up their limbs as I did for all Americans, including him. But I have faith in our country. The American people know that no one should be ashamed of a disability and that wounded warriors should be honored instead of hidden from view. I take my wheelchair and my titanium legs over Donald Trump's supposed bone spurs any day. And I'm really ready, to replace Donald Trump with Joe Biden, because we need a president who will actually show our soldiers and Marines and airmen and Coast Guardsmen and sailors the respect that they deserve.
Democratic Senator Tammy Duckworth on a teleconference put together by the Biden for President campaign. Also today, President Trump said his administration would not be cutting funding to the U.S. military's independent newspaper Stars and Stripes. This after the Pentagon announced today in a memo that it would be shutting down the paper. And earlier this year, the Pentagon moved to cut the $15.5 million in funding for the publication from the Defense Department's budget. But President Trump tweeting today, "The paper will continue to be a wonderful source of information to our great military." Washington Today continues in a moment with the August jobs report. And welcome back to Washington Today. A couple of other headlines. Attorney General William Barr issuing a statement this morning following Thursday night's death of Michael Reinell, the man suspected of killing a Trump supporter in downtown Portland last weekend. Barr saying that Reinell was in Lacey, Washington State, armed with a gun and trying to escape federal, state, and local law enforcement when the officers shot him. Barr calling Reinell a dangerous fugitive, admitted Antifa member, and suspected murderer. The Fraternal Order of Police, the nation's largest police union, endorsing President Donald Trump for re-election, praising him for his calls for law and order. And the House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy telling Fox News he doesn't want the endorsement of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce this cycle because the chamber is endorsing 23 House freshman Democrats. McCarthy calls the chamber, or says the chamber, has sold out. And now the August jobs report, 1.4 million jobs added, the unemployment rate going from 10.2% to 8.4%. That's down from the highest during the coronavirus pandemic, 14.7% in April. The Democratic presidential nominee, Joe Biden, says it's not happening fast enough.
The pace of the job gains in August was slower than July, significantly slower than in May and June. More and more temporary layoffs are turning into permanent layoffs. 28 million people have filed for unemployment. And after 6 months in the pandemic, we're less than halfway back to where we were, with 11.5 million Americans not getting their jobs back. We're still down 720,000 manufacturing jobs. In fact, Donald Trump may be the only president in modern history to leave office with fewer jobs than when he took office.
Joe Biden in Wilmington, Delaware, he also pointed to what he says is the uneven nature of the recovery.
But the report reinforces the worst fears and painful truths. The economic inequities that began before the downturn have only worsened under this failed presidency. When the crisis started, we all hoped for a few months of a shutdown would be followed by a rapid economic turnaround. No one thought they'd lose their job for good or see small businesses shut down en masse. But that kind of recovery requires leadership. Leadership we didn't have and still don't have. And as a result, economists are starting to call this recession a K-shaped recession, which is a fancy phrase for what's wrong with everything about Trump's presidency. The K means those at the top are seeing things go up, and those in the middle and below are seeing things go down and get worse. It's no surprise, because at root of this is the fact that Trump has mismanaged the COVID crisis, and that's why it's a K-shaped pandemic.
Joe Biden. During his news conference in Delaware, he also said he has been tested for the coronavirus and that he plans to continue to get tested periodically. And he said that he would be open to meeting with President Trump next week, when they both will be in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, commemorating the anniversary of the 9/11 terrorist attacks. Shanksville is where one of the hijacked planes crashed in 2001. More on the jobs report. President Trump, in contrast to his Democratic election opponent, saw the August numbers as very positive.
Our unemployment rate dropped all the way down to 8.4%. It was just announced an hour ago. And that is many, many months ahead of schedule. They said you won't break 10% at least until next year sometime. And we just hit 8.4%, and we're going down rapidly, plus a lot of jobs were produced. But very important, we just broke the 10% mark, and that wasn't going to happen until January, February, March, maybe. And so we're at 8.4%, and that starts to sound much more normal. We're recovering from the China plague, and they are too, by the way. They got hit very hard. Every country did, almost. 188 countries got hit. But 8.4% is an incredible number, way ahead of schedule, way ahead of schedule.
President Donald Trump in the Oval Office of the White House. He was later asked by a reporter if the pace of the recovery is fast enough.
So on the economy today, obviously, there's 1.4 million jobs
right
that were added. At this pace, though, it'll still take a full year before all the jobs lost before the pandemic are regained. Is that good enough?
I think what's happening is you're going to see tremendous growth in the very near future. We're rounding the curve. We're coming up with vaccines. I think the vaccines are going to be announced very soon. And I think you're going to see great companies announcing these vaccines. I spoke with Pfizer today. I speak with different companies, Johnson & Johnson, as you know, doing really well. Moderna. We have tremendous talent, tremendous scientists, and they're really right there. And I think you're going to hear some very good news. And also, to me, maybe even better, I think when it comes to therapeutics, you're going to have some incredible news coming out very soon. I say therapeutics because that's you walk into the hospital, and whether it's a transfusion or a shot, people get better. That's something that I think right now is really incredible. The numbers are way down, as you know. Florida is doing very well. Arizona's been actually a little bit of a miracle how quickly it went down, because it went up and it went down very quickly. Two really great governors. Texas, great governor, same thing. California, the numbers are way down. So we're really starting to see those areas that popped up are really going down.
That was President Trump in the Oval Office earlier today. And joining us now with more on the August jobs report is Ben White, chief economic correspondent and morning money columnist for Politico. Mr. White, what do these jobs numbers say about the recovery in the economy now?
Right. So 1.4 million is a solid number. Any other time in our history, it would be a great number. The problem here is the pace of job growth since we had that huge decline from COVID-19 has slowed down a lot. We had 4.8 million in May, and now we've dropped to a pace of just a little bit over a million per month, which leaves us still 11 million behind where we were before COVID-19 hit. And the pace is simply not fast enough to really get people back to work, get the economy moving again. You'd really like to see bigger numbers. We also have to remember that 238,000 of these were temporary census workers. Those numbers will go away. So it's great that we're getting jobs back. I don't want to downplay that this is a solid number, but it's simply not a fast enough pace at this point to really get back to where we were before COVID anytime soon. At this pace, it's going to take us quite a while.
In an article this week, you wrote, while President Donald Trump prepares to promote an economic rebound, a wave of business failures is set to tell another story. What did you find?
So that's exactly what's likely to happen and what economists say and what bankruptcy experts say. We've already seen plenty of big name bankruptcies, as you know, Hertz Rent-A-Car, lots of retailers like J.Crew, Brooks Brothers. The real pain, though, is in the small to mid-sized businesses. It's hard to pick those numbers up, but there's a huge number that have never reopened, and there are a lot more that are going to fail this fall for a number of reasons. One being that there's no more government stimulus flowing out at the moment. That means no more paycheck protection money to help businesses stay afloat. And all these businesses, particularly small retail businesses, depend on consumer spending. And if we are not sending out more unemployment benefits to people, if we're not sending out stimulus checks and these people haven't gotten their jobs back, they're not going to be spending much money. That means they're not going to be going out to eat or ordering in to eat, doing some of the things that kind of helped us over the last couple of months. So the fear is among economists that, you know, we've already seen a lot of failures. We're well above the pace from 2008, the financial crisis, and that absent more government action, a lot more are going to simply disappear this fall. And that will certainly put a crimp in Trump's American comeback story. So that's what people are worried about and starting to show up.
You mentioned the coronavirus relief bill. We understand there may be votes on different versions in the House and the Senate this month, but it doesn't look like there's a deal ready to go. But we did hear that there is a deal to keep the government from shutting down, the regular government funding, at the end of this month. So how important is it, what the federal government is doing, to how the economy is going to proceed?
Well, it's enormously important, and certainly it's a good thing that we won't have a government shutdown in the midst of this. That would be disastrous, given all that the government is doing to try and help fight COVID-19, and particularly with kids going back to schools. But the really important piece of it is the fiscal stimulus, and we've had a lot of it, to be sure. And it's been enormously helpful. I think the reason you saw so many jobs coming back in May and consumer spending really kind of bouncing back and holding up was because the government was coming to the rescue and putting money directly in people's pockets, either through stimulus checks or greatly enhanced unemployment benefits. That is trickling out of the system now, and you're starting to see it show up in the jobs numbers. It will continue to show up in September and October, absent more stimulus. This economy simply is not at the point where it can stand on its own. The Federal Reserve has done a lot that's helped boost stocks for the most part, but it has not really trickled into the larger economy. So if you take trillions of dollars in fiscal stimulus out of the system, at the same time we're still in crisis, it's just going to slow down and perhaps stall the recovery. So at some point, hopefully soon, they figure out a way to do this, because a lack of stimulus at this moment in our economic history is just a terrible idea.
Ben White is chief economic correspondent with Politico, also the columnist for Morning Money. And you can find his work at politico.com and on Twitter at Morning Money Ben. Thank you very much.
Great to be with you.
On Wall Street today, the Dow was down 159, NASDAQ down 144, S&P down 28. After 2 days of meetings with Trump administration officials in Washington, the president of Serbia and the prime minister of Kosovo met with President Trump in the White House Oval Office, signing an agreement to normalize economic ties. The agreement also calls for Serbia to move its Israeli embassy to Jerusalem and Kosovo, which has a Muslim-majority population, to recognize Israel. Joining them in the Oval Office, Richard Grenell, President Trump's special envoy for Serbia and Kosovo.
I think everybody knows that we've been stuck politically in this issue for decades, and many times fighting about symbolic things. And what President Trump did from the very beginning is say, let's flip it. Let's figure out how to do economics first. You can't pay your rent and you can't buy food with symbolism, but you can when you have a job. And from the very beginning, what President Trump said is, let's give them a little taste of the Trump economy. Let's show them how to develop economics, how to take industries and grow them, and let's see if the concentration on economics and job creation can unstick the political stuff. That remains to be seen. But I think one of the great parts of this agreement is over the next year, we have a freeze on the recognition and derecognition campaigns. That means over this next year, we can see job growth and job creation really take hold in the region. And then a year from now, judge us on where the political process goes.
Richard Grenell is special presidential envoy for Serbia and Kosovo today in the Oval Office of the White House. Associated Press explains most Western nations have recognized Kosovo's independence, but Serbia and its allies, Russia and China, have not. The ongoing deadlock and Serbia's unwillingness to recognize Kosovo have kept tensions simmering and prevented full stabilization of the Balkan region after the bloody wars of the 1990s. NATO is calling for the international community to respond to the attempted assassination of leading Russian opposition figure Alexei Navalny. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg held a news conference in Brussels.
There is proof beyond doubt that Mr. Navalny was poisoned by using military nerve grade agent from the Novichok group. The use of such a weapon is horrific. All allies today were united in condemning this attack. Any use of chemical weapons shows a total disrespect for human lives and is an unacceptable breach of international norms and rules. NATO allies agree that Russia now has serious questions it must answer. The Russian government must fully cooperate with the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons on an impartial international investigation. Those responsible for this attack must be held accountable and brought to justice. We also call on Russia to provide complete disclosure of the Novichok program to the OPCW. Time and again, we have seen opposition leaders and critics of the Russian regime attacked and their lives threatened. Some have even been killed. So this is not just an attack on an individual, but on fundamental democratic rights. And it is a serious breach of international law, which demands an international response. We wish Mr. Navalny a full and speedy recovery. Our thoughts are with him and his family, and allies will continue consultations and consider the implications of this incident.
The NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg, Alexei Navalny still recovering in a German hospital. President Donald Trump said at a news conference on Friday, the U.S. must look very seriously into the suspected poisoning. He said he didn't have any proof yet that Navalny had been poisoned, but didn't have any reason to doubt the German government's findings. A spokesman for the Kremlin said, according to the version of our doctors, it wasn't a poisoning. Thanks for joining us on Washington Today, which is available as a podcast at cspan.org/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to download the free C-SPAN radio app to listen on the go. Washington Today will be airing next on Tuesday, September 8th, after the Labor Day holiday. Have a good night and enjoyable weekend.